2 years ago.
Thanks, Sarah. So just like to welcome everybody to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we're currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are switched off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote or in the case of members in the chamber leaving the chamber. You will then be invited back in to join the meeting when the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak and I'll bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you're physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when the vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer and seconder, and this should be done using the instant messenger feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members propose, the first member having indicated through instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute and to indicate vocally the proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via instant messenger feature so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate any connectivity problems. Okay, so I've received apologies this evening from Councillor Dorn and Councillor McGuinness. Is there any other apologies from the floor? No. Okay, any declarations of interest?
Yes, Chair.
Oh, sorry, I'll bring you in a wee second, Michael. Councillor Tenley, sorry I missed that.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, and the point of clarity I'm looking at is my understanding that all committee members had to be in attendance here, but we seem to have as many on the screen. Now, the reason I'm saying that is I had to rush home from Dublin to be at this meeting, so it would have suited me to be on the screen as well. So I'm just looking for clarity as to what the situation is and what it's going to be going forward. And I say that in the context of I would be a supporter of the hybrid process. Thank you.
Okay, fair enough. Mary, would
you be able to? Yeah, Chair, so we were trying to encourage all members to come into the chamber as we are still in the delegated authority type position because of the legislation not having royal assent as yet. But we're continuing on that process. We've said all committee members of a committee should be in the chamber. But you can do a hybrid version as well if you wish. But we're going to have to review that if we can't get the legislation in place as well. I know that sounds as clear as mud, but it's kind of where we're at the minute. Apologies, Councillor Tenley, that you travelled down the road.
Does that provide the clarity you wanted, Councillor Tenley?
To paraphrase the Chief Executive, that's as clear as mud, but we'll not hold the meeting up, sure, proceed.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Councillor Tenley. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. I want to declare an interest, item 10 on the agenda. I believe in consideration of that discussion.
Okay, I'm sure that's been noted. Thank you. Okay, so moving on to item 3 on the agenda, action sheet arising from SPR committee held on Thursday, 17th of June at 2021. Sorry, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. Any questions arising?
Question from Councillor Brown.
Go ahead, Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just in relation to page 3 of the NCCR project board there, I just wanted to ask why the minutes from the June 24th meeting hadn't been brought back yet, because it's been some time since that meeting happened. Surely they must be ready by now. And also in relation to that project, because I haven't heard very much since the public consultation closed at the end of May, and I know a lot of councillors are very keen to see the results of it. I wanted to ask when officers expected to bring back those results to councillors on the SPNR committee. Presumably it will go to the project board first, but SPNR as the oversight body should get to see it as well. So I wanted to ask around timeframes related to that and if that's been affected by the ongoing investigation into it as well.
Okay, so just before I pass over to the officer to answer those questions, can I get a proposer and seconder for the action sheet?
I'll be the proposer.
Okay, proposed by Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor Howell. Thank you. So I'm going to pass over to Dorina to answer Councillor Brown's queries.
Thank you, Chair. So Councillor Brown, the minutes of the 24th of June meeting have only just issued this week to the Programme Board members for agreement. And I think it was annual leave arrangements had actually just delayed that somewhat, so apologies. The minutes then of that 24th of June meeting contain a proposed amendment to the 20th of May minutes, and therefore both sets of minutes will be tabled together at the next SPNR once the Programme Board members have approved them. In relation to your question then about the consultation, my understanding is that there has been quite a significant response from the public consultation, and our independent consultants are still reviewing those. No results of that consultation have yet been received into council. As soon as they do so, then they will, as you state, go to the programme board first and to the next available SPNR thereafter. We don't consider there will be any delay to that process by the ongoing review.
Okay, does that answer your question, Councillor Brown?
Yeah, thanks, Dorina, for that. I will put on record, it does seem strange that these minutes for this particular programme board always seem to have some sort of reason for delay each time, but thank you for the succinct response, Dorina.
Okay, thank you. So if there's nothing else, we'll move on to item 4, which is the notice of motion regarding digital poverty. And Dorina will be taking this item.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, a notice of motion was tabled by Councillor Savage at the council meeting in May 2021, and it's at item 1.1 of the report, just for your reference. One of the areas within that was asking us to send correspondence to the Education Minister and the Executive Office, and that has been done. Copies of the correspondence are included then and in the appendices for your information. No response has been received to date. In terms of the issues around digital poverty, you will see that we've outlined at section 2 of the report the existing activity ongoing already throughout the district, and much of this sits with other bodies outside of council, as well as areas of work that we are undertaking within council. We do recognise at 2.2 that we need collaborative working if we are going to play a part in addressing the digital poverty that the notice of motion calls for, and we have outlined some of the ways in which we think we as a council can work collaboratively with other stakeholders throughout the district. So at section 3, we are recommending then that we do indeed set up a working group coordinated through the community planning team, very much cognizant of needing to work with other statutory partners and other organisations throughout the district. You will see there at 3 we have high-level aims of that working group outlined for you, and we do envisage then that the working group will report through to this committee and also through the Community Planning Partnership to keep you updated on progress. Happy to take any comments or questions.
Okay, thanks, Dorina. Does anybody have any questions? If they have a proposal from Councillor Savage.
Sure, I have a comment on it as well, if you're happy enough to take it.
Certainly, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to welcome the paper tonight and obviously happy to propose it, and to thank Dorina and the team for the significant work that's been done here on this. You know, this issue is it escalated, and we saw the firsthand the need for it during the pandemic, in particular the lockdown. And you know, when you look at some of the raw data relating to this issue, Northern Ireland is the lowest proportion of internet users in the UK at 87%, and the Department of Economy has indicated that 68,500 homes, which is 8.5% of the total homes, have inadequate access to internet broadband services. And we have that particularly in some of our rural areas in particular. And over 10,000 additional premises across the north, schools, businesses, religious buildings, don't have adequate broadband. So the challenge is there to deliver that not only at home, but through all the elements of our society and our community. And you know, the transfer of many public services online is causing a problem as well, and can lead to exacerbating poverty for those people in extreme poverty who need help and can't get access to funding and access to benefits through the internet and through access to the web. And you'll get help in a number of recommendations and resolutions at UN level about the importance of securing access to the internet as a mechanism for protecting the rights of individuals globally. So I think we have a huge obligation to make sure that our citizens right across this district and this part of Northern Ireland and across these islands, that we ensure that our citizens have access, our children have access to their education through the access to the internet and access to proper and proper great broadband. And therefore, I think it's only right that we as a council should act as a catalyst for this and do our role in bringing a lot of the stakeholders together. And I think the progress that has been made in pulling this working group together and will be done over the next number of months is critically important to ensure that our children have access to broadband, our community have access to broadband, that we as a society and as an economic region are able to attract people because we have high-level connectivity. And Chair, I'd be very happy to propose this tonight, and again thank the officials for the great work they've done to bringing this to the table tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Savage, and that was seconded by Councillor Gallagher. And Councillor O'Murray would like to make a comment.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I know I was very willing to second the motion as well. I agree with almost everything that Councillor Savage had to say on that. And, you know, probably when he brought the motion in the first case, you know, we're all thinking about the communities that we live in and the not spots and all that, and all the children that are sort of disadvantaged through the lack of connectivity and that. You know, at the same time, paying tribute to schools and community groups, and I know in our own area, Community Restorative Justice that handed out computers and laptops and iPads to many disadvantaged children just at the outbreak of the coronavirus lockdown. But totally agree. Looking forward to this working group getting up and running and identifying the areas of most need, and then within the children in most need, and adults and adult learners in most need, and just getting tackling it collectively.
Thank you, Barra. Councillor Tinley.
Thank you, Chair. Concur with my colleague, Councillor Moore's comments. I too would like to thank the officers for the work they've put into this, and indeed to Michael for bringing the original proposal. I have a concern, Chair, that, and I suppose I've just become cynical with age, that my fear would be that this, and I don't want it, nor do I expect it, but it's a fear nonetheless, that this turns into an actual never-ending talking shop, this working group. So I would actually prefer to see a time-limited approach here. If we should have a target or something for the end of the year, and actually come back with hard and fast recommendations about how we can actually physically pinpoint or signpost people, or indeed provide hardware to the people that are most in need. Because the last thing we want to do here is give people hope and then not be able to deliver on the other side of it. But I fully agree with the sentiments of the motion, and I hope I'm wrong in everything I said, and we actually do have an excellent result on the other side of this. But the sooner the better. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll bring Dorena back in to cover your comments, Councillor Finlay.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. I think, you know, like yourself, we do recognise that we need the assistance of other statutory partners on this one, and it's not totally within the control of Council. We are going to report back through this group, but taking on board your comments, if you're content, we will then put into the terms of reference to formally review by this committee after 1 year the work of the working group to see whether we are making sufficient progress, and there'll be another decision point for this committee at that stage then, if members are content.
Does that cover your comments? Okay, so we're happy to move on then. Thank you. So we're moving on to item 5, which is future funding opportunities and resource requirements. And Jonathan McGillie is going to take this item.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies, I can't join with the camera. I'm having connectivity issues here, so I'm just joining via the phone. Chair, the paper is presented in terms of funding opportunities that are available currently and into the future. I've detailed in the report a number of new funds that are available for the Council to explore in terms of the Leven Up Fund, Community Renewal Fund, Shared Prosperity Fund, elements of the Peace Plus or the old Interreg programme, and tackling rural poverty and isolation. The report goes into detail around the opportunities that exist under each of those, Chair, and as a result of that, there's an opportunity to develop a number of projects and schemes that align very much to Council strategy around economic development and regeneration, Chair. And what we're seeking approval this evening is to, for a short period of, or a period of 18 months, appoint an additional officer at Senior Officer Grade 2 level to work with the team to develop to develop projects and proposals to put forward. Chairman, within some of these programmes there is the potential to, from fair capacity building funding, to avail of funding that may offset the costs to Council of this post over the 18-month period, Chair. So that is the proposal that's before you this evening in the paper.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. Comment then from Councillor Sharvin and Taylor and Murphy. Go ahead, Gareth.
Thank you, Chair. And it's really just a comment of this could certainly fit the remit of a town centre manager role that would certainly be ideal, and a town centre manager who could certainly look for that funding and economic regeneration avenues that we discussed at ERT. So maybe when we're considering the options as part of the proposal at ERT on Monday, that this is part of that consideration and the remit of the officer that we're being asked to approve. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, I'm fully supportive of the recommendation. You know, I think it's key that we are in a position as a council to, you know, fight for every piece of funding that's available. That's obviously going to, you know, increase the prosperity and investment in our district. So if this post is able to do that, certainly, you know, I think we all should embrace that. Obviously, it's important that that role has a key focus in doing that, and maybe ourselves as elected representatives can be kept in regular update about the work that's been undertaken by that department or by that employee in particular, in terms of identifying the various schemes that we have, you know, outlined. And we all have our own, you know, thoughts and ideas of what schemes should fund going forward, particularly within our own DAs and in terms of the wider district. But certainly it's something, you know, if this does, you know, enhance our prospects of getting funding through these various schemes, it's something we should embrace. And I'm certainly very happy to propose or second that if it's not already proposed.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, again, we would definitely commend this proposal. If you take a look at what they did in Belfast City Council with the unit, you know, they established that, focused very much on
attracting funding from all the various programmes within the EU, and did it very, very successfully. You know, this is something that I think really does need to be given a status. There is lots of different funding pots out there. You know, even the Shared Islands, you know, Reconciliation, Peace Plus, all of those. And they really do require a dedicated and professional approach to chasing them up. You know, so if it has been proposed, I will second that. No problem. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jonathan, can I ask, we will still be getting, or the UK government did pledge that they would continue to provide funds, I think it's 340 million over 5 years for EU-specific cross-border schemes and that. But can that be intermingled and supported through the new UK funds like the Shared Prosperity Fund and Leveling Up Fund? Because that just has confused me a bit. Like, if you were going to do a project using the Leveling Up Fund or the Shared Prosperity Fund, could EU or money, UK money that's been put in through EU designated schemes for existence, you know, can that, I'm lost for the word, Jonathan, but I'm sure you know where I'm coming from. Can you cross fund from the EU designated schemes along with the UK specific schemes? Thank you.
So, Chair, at this point, that would be part of the role of that officer would be to explore that. At the moment, the guidelines, particularly around Leveling Up Fund and Shared Prosperity Fund, are relatively vague. They're a fairly high level, and you're working through that detail. However, the level of intervention that appears to be coming is quite significant. So it'd be a matter of looking at it on a project by project basis, sure, but that would be something that would develop through time and be reported through to committees as we go, Chair.
Yeah, Madam Chair, can I just also say, I think that Shared Prosperity on the Leveling Up Fund, it's the criteria for qualifying for funds, it's not a high bar, but there needs to be a lot of community input into it. But certainly it's something that we could, as a Newry Morning Down, it really does seem to suit us. And we have a strong community infrastructure. So looking forward to applying for those funds when they're available. Thank you.
Thank you. Jonathan, are you going to pick up on Councillor Sharvin's query around the Town Centre Manager?
Well, I suppose the role of this officer's post is to explore all of these programmes and look at initiatives that run across all of the district. The issue of Town Centre Manager specifically for one region would be a potential project that they would be exploring, or initiatives like that. That would be potential initiatives that you'd be exploring funding to develop, particularly maybe more around the action plan to deliver projects within it. But that would be, I mean, it would all be linked into regeneration, sure.
Okay. So if we are content, we need a proposer and seconder.
I think Councillor Taylor proposed it, Chair, and Councillor Murphy seconded
it. Proposed by Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Murphy. Thank you. Apologies for missing that. Okay, so we move on to item 6, which is PHA COVID-19 testing facility at Albert Basin, Newry. This is going to be taken by Colin Quinn. Just take the opportunity to thank Colin. He's actually leaving us to go back to his post with CPD. I'm sure you'll be greatly missed within the council, Colin.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the kind words. Evening, everyone. The report tonight is in relation, just an update on the COVID test site at our Albert Basin. You may recall, and the details in the paper, that at our May SPNR and subsequent to that our June council meeting, we got approval for a new lease for a 6-month period for the test site for the PHA, which commenced on the 1st of July. And I gave a commitment to provide an update after the first couple of months, because there is within that lease agreement the potential that after the first 3 months that we can, as a council, terminate that lease and take it back into our own ownership and for our own uses. The report here, you'll see that it includes an update to state that the PHA have a continued demand and need for the site, and as such, really, they would wish to continue on after that 3-month period and hope that we don't terminate the trigger clause. So whilst they still have an option to pull out at any time if the demand is no longer there. So the report includes and highlights that if we continue to allow that, that it would impact any potential future events at the site, particularly as the lease period would end at 6 months, which would take in the Christmas period. So the recommendation in the section of 3.3 is for us to not to trigger that termination clause, and we allow the PHA to continue on with their lease period, and that a further report will be brought back to this committee prior to the end of the lease period to gauge if the facility will be required after that 6 month period, if they stay that long, and how that would impact going forward. I'm also aware since I issued the report earlier in the week, there has been some complaints in relation to mobility issues and some people with mobility not getting access to the site to get a drop off at a car park to allow them easy access. It is a walk-in. I've had an initial response back from the PHA, and they have stated that it is a walk-in site, and they want people to go to a drive-in site and book a drive-in test if they so require. I've challenged that again and said that them drive-in sites are quite a distance away, and it would not be convenient for those people to travel that distance, and I await a response on that, members, just by way of update. Happy to take any comments or questions on the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Colin. Councillor Savage and then Councillor O'Mara.
Yeah, yes, Chair. And like other councillors, I'd like to thank Colin for all his work, in particular the extensive work he did on the D1 and asset process. Your updates and the detail in them will be sorely missed, Colin. I wish you all the best. Just in relation to the Albert Basin side of things, I'm just looking there in relation to its impact potentially in the development of the park. There's a question really in relation to, it might go more towards Davina and the Chief Executive, in relation to getting a handle as to what stage we're going to move to actual boots on the ground as such, because this will impact how we handle this depending on the need over the winter months, in particular in relation to COVID. The issue we have is that I know that after the presentation given on the concept, which is excellent on the park, we were still waiting some sort of data and breakdown in relation to the potential costs for the clearing of the site, because obviously the costs we were hearing were exceptionally high compared to what we had initially envisaged.
Is this relevant to this?
No, it is. It's exceptionally relevant, and the reason for it is that we have passed a motion of council saying that we would want work to commence on that site within this council term, and this is based on the timeline. Pardon?
Those costs were discussed in closed session.
What the costs were discussed in closed session? Sorry, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Chair?
Yeah, I can't. I just believe that this either or what you're raising should be discussed at Strategic Finance Working Group. I don't think that Colin has brought forward this evening.
The question I'm asking relates to getting information that we'd asked for a breakdown of the costs for the park, because they will impact on the timeline as to when we will get boots on the ground on the park. And that in return impacts, excuse me, Chair, but that in return impacts the timeline of when the PHA site will, if it was extended, for example, if we had another lockdown or another extensive outbreak of another variant of COVID and the PHA required to be in that site, we would have to make decisions on when potentially that could impact on it. So I'm asking a question. Councillor Stokes has asked for information on that we progress things and move things on in council in relation to when we could potentially get boots on the ground on the site. And it's about 4 or 5 weeks and he's asked for that information. And I would like that information to come forward, because whenever this comes round again in maybe 3 or 6 months' time, and we still have to deal with the impact of COVID with the PHA site on the site,
I would draw you to 2.6 on the paper, which says quite clearly that it doesn't impact any future development on the site. And I do think we should move forward and let...
With respect, Chair, there's a couple of points I wanted to make.
On. unless it's relevant to the paper, I'm not taking you in again.
Chair, with all due respect, it says in the paper that the expectation is that the work in this period will be office-based. And what I'm asking is, when is it likely to be not office-based and boots on the ground? Because that will impact the long-term.
That will be discussed at the programme board at the relevant time, Councillor Savage. I'll bring in Councillor O'Mara.
Yep. Thanks, Colm, for your report. We got a good look through it. The point that we were going to raise was that it had been brought to the attention of the Sinn Féin office quite a few times about disability access to it. You referred to it, and thanks a million for doing that. If you could, maybe when you get a response, maybe get back to us on it. I think just the issue was it depended sometimes who was on the gate, that some of them would have said to a wheelchair user or somebody with a walking aid or somebody being assisted that, yes, you can go on ahead, and then another day they'd be told, no, you can't, and people would have to travel from quite a distance to get into it. So, look, I suppose as long as the PHA deem that there's still demand to be on the site, it seems perfectly reasonable to us that we don't trigger the clause to end it. So I'm happy to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Murray. Councillor Tenley.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Colin, for your report on this, and indeed for all the work you've done since you joined us. And best wishes for the future, wherever that may be. Just on the, I suppose the PHA requirements and needs in this instance, Chairperson, probably trump everything else pertaining to that site at this moment in time, because we're certainly by no means anywhere near out of the woods yet as we head into the worst months of the year. But my question was, in years gone by, that site has been used, I think the run up to Christmas, by Buttercrane for their staff car parking and whatnot. So were they consulted, or is there plans to let them know as soon as that option will not be available this year? Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Colin, can you come back and answer that?
Yeah, okay. Communication with Buttercrane hasn't been updated because I wanted to wait the outcome of this meeting before going back there. But certainly, if the same situation arose this time last year, Councillor Tinley, whenever the Buttercrane were fully understanding of the need for the facility to be provided. So we will make communication if this proposal goes through and inform them that there's the potential and most likely that the PHA will still be on this part of the site at that time. I'd also just come back on an earlier point in relation to the tests, those that haven't been able to get access there to the site, that test kits are being offered to them people when they do come, and if they believe that they can't get access, if they want to go back home and do a test, and that's something that you may wish to bring out there. If the PHA do not provide us access to the site for parking for those, and I take the point, the earlier comment in relation to mixed messages about those getting access to the site, and in some ways it's nice to hear that because it allows me to challenge that, to say that they are being inconsistent in their approach, and let's get a definite approach of what way they're going to undertake their site security. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Colin. Does that answer your question, Councillor Tinley?
Yeah, it does, Chair. And I mean, like, it slipped my mind that this site was not open last Christmas either. So I'm assuming Buttercrane will be planning accordingly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just going to clarify. It's actually the Keys that use the car park, not the Buttercrane.
That's right. Thanks, mate.
We seen your moment there.
For all the male shoppers in the room. So we had a proposal from Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Howell. So if there's no further questions, we'll move on to item 7 on the agenda, which is response to NIPSO consultation on complaints handling procedures. And this is going to be covered by Alison Robb.
Thank you, Chair. NIPSO is currently consulting on a draft statement of principles and model complaints handling procedure to help standardise complaints handling by public bodies in Northern Ireland. Members, you have a report linked to the consultation documents and suggested response to the consultation consultation questions for consideration. At 1.5 in the report, you will see 6 key principles for public bodies to adhere to when they receive a complaint. All public bodies will be expected to agree to the same statement of principles. The draft model complaints handling procedure is a starting point for more detailed discussions with public bodies on how complaints handling procedures will be implemented within each sectors, for example, councils, health and social care and education, and will be tailored to meet the needs of each sector. For information, Council's Head of Administration and Customer Services has been part of a working group involving NIPSO and other councils in Northern Ireland, seeking to achieve consistency in approach in terms of policy provision in implementing the new principles and procedure. At 1.7 is set out the key components which NIPSO believe complaints handling principles should contain. The proposals are consistent with Council's own direction of travel, in particular reducing the stages of the complaints procedure. Currently we have a 3-stage process and would propose to move to a 2-stage process. Also having a mechanism to extend the response time when required. This will be particularly useful in relation to planning complaints, where complaints can be very detailed and require investigation and review of large volumes of information. Also, the need for a robust complaints management framework, improving knowledge of complaints handling, better recording and reporting and learning from complaints. These all support the Administration Department Service Plan 2021 to 2022. For information, the Administration Department and IT have developed a complaints tracker system based on our SharePoint facility, which has been piloted in a number of departments. This will allow for consistency approach in complaints recording and yield consistent management information. It's hoped to roll this out corporately over the next few months. Members will note at 1.8 that NIPSO is proposing to develop a range of training to support public bodies via complaints standards team. This aspect is particularly welcome in order to achieve consistency of approach across the sector. We have extracted the consultation questions and provided draft responses as an appendix to the report. I don't propose to go through each question and response individually, but members may wish to make amendment to that, and it's recommended that members endorse the consultation response, which will be completed and returned to NIPSO on behalf of Council. Obviously, any new policy and procedures to implement the principles and models will be brought to this committee in due course for consideration. Thank you, Chair, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Alison, for that detailed report. Unless anybody has any questions, we have a proposal from Councillor Byrne. Did you want to come in, Pete, or are you happy not? Yeah, happy to propose. Councillor Sharvin, you have a question?
Yeah, sorry, Chair. It's just in relation to our current complaints procedures, Alison. On the website, when you click on the form, the complaints form, it's literally a PDF that's not being able to be filled out. Maybe going forward as part of the 2-step process that we have is that we have electronic form that someone can type in their information and can submit. Because if you go to that, you have to print the PDF, fill it out and then post it in. And the other question is on it, it says info at newingmorningdown.org. Does that actually go directly to the team that's going to handle the complaint? Or does that go into like a service desk mailbox and then that has to be assigned out to the team? It's just some of the considerations as part of the process of making it easier to handle these that could improve it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Gareth.
Thanks, Chair. In terms of the PDF, Councillor Sharvin, that's something I'll pick up to see if that can be, obviously if there's an interim solution to that, then I'll get that picked up very quickly to see if we can get a solution to that. In terms of the info at NM&D, that is picked up by our customer services team, who will then send the complaint on to the relevant department to be dealt with.
Okay. Is there an opportunity, sorry, Chair, to have Emilia's of complaints at Nearing Morning Down that goes directly to the team rather than, again, it's coming to the customer service team, then that needs to be triaged and then handed to the team, whereas if it's a complaint, it should go straight to the team directly.
Councillor Sharvin, the customer services team is based in corporate services administration. They're the business support. They won't mostly be processing the complaints. They will be going to the relevant services. This is something that we're going to look at as part of the overall implementation of the new system. You probably recall there was a report done by ASM Hearth in terms of a review of council's complaints procedure. And one of their the points that they made is actually we have too many access points for complaints that we actually make life more difficult for ourselves. So their recommendation is we look at narrowing, not to the detriment obviously of complainants, but we look at providing a smaller number of access points to allow us to better control the flow of complaints into and through the organisation. So it's something we're aware of, and you know we'll be looking at in due course.
All right. Thanks, Alison. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, so we have a proposal from Councillor Burns, seconded by Councillor Walker. So if there's no further questions, we'll move on to item number 8, which is parental bereavement leave and pay bill survey. And this will be covered by Mr. Preen.
Thank you, Chair. Members will see from the report circulated, the Economy Committee are seeking feedback in relation to the proposed parental bereavement leave bill. Responses to the survey are shown on the report in bold type. The survey closes for responses on Monday of next week, and members are asked to confirm their agreement that we submit those responses on behalf of the Council. I'm happy to take any questions or comments from members.
Thank you. Proposal and comment from Councillor Howell.
Yeah, I'm happy to propose, Chair. Thanks for that report. And I think it's important that we support staff at this difficult time. And I suppose the right of for leave, you know, should be a day one right whenever any parent, mother or father is faced with these difficult circumstances. So happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you. And we have a seconder from Councillor Sharvin. Okay.
Yep. Just happy to second, Chair.
Thank you, Garth. So if we're happy to move on to item 9, the APSE annual seminar in September 2021 at the ICC Birmingham, and this is going to be taken by Dorina.
Thank you, Chair. Members, just to advise that Councillor Terry Andrews has been appointed as the Deputy Chair of APSE Northern Ireland. That appointment attracts a free place at the annual seminar on the date that the Chair has advised. Councillor Andrews has advised he would like to attend, and so we're asking for committee approval tonight for the travel costs associated as outlined on your agenda. So looking at proposal and seconder, please.
Okay, so we have a proposal from Councillor Walker and seconded by Councillor Howell. Okay, thank you. Items 10 to 18 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So I need a proposer and a seconder to go into closed section. Oh, apologies. Item 19 is exempt also. Item 19 is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 4 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of Local Government Act NI 2014. Okay, so could Councillor Savage is declaring an interest in item 10. And if we could get a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Proposed by Mr. Kyle and seconded by Councillor Murphy.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Just let me know when you're okay to go ahead, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay, so whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 10, options for the distribution of the 2022 annual report, / Newry Morning Down, Connect Citizens Magazine. On the proposal of Councillor O'Meara, seconded by Councillor Taylor, it was agreed that the elected members approved the following. So option 2, 2021 distribution model promoted on the council website, supported by a limited print run and marketing campaign in local press, making available hard copies in the two main council office buildings and providing each councillor with 100 copies. There was a caveat that councillors can request to opt out of this option. And also to make available to their constituents at an approximate distribution cost. We also agreed that officials will be able to promote the Newry Morning Down Connect via social media platforms and council. So item 11, the subleases storeroom at Downshire Civic Centre, on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin and seconded by Councillor Hyle, it was agreed that elected members approved the following recommendations: to accept the request made by the Northern Ireland Housing Executive for lease of the storeroom within the Downshire Civic Centre, shown on the attached map, on similar terms as the current lease, stated 12th of January 2018, and subject evaluation being carried out to determine the additional rent payment. Item 12, Bridge Street Car Park Kilkeel, on the proposal of Councillor Riley and seconded by Councillor Taylor, it was agreed that elected members accept the proposal made by DFI that the areas marked in red and green on the attached map be included in the legal transfer to Council of Bridge Street Car Park Kilkeel. Item 13, surrender of the lease of units 1 and 8 McGrath House, Margaret Street, Newry, on the proposal of Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor O'Meara. It was agreed that elected members approve the following: that the lease was intended to be terminated in June 2020 and that the council enter a deed of surrender on the basis of no further payment is due by the tenant. Item 14, surplus asset, the Clock Recreation Area, Shrigley, D1 process update. On the proposal of Councillor Brown and seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed that elected members approve that members note the content of the report on Appendix 1, Expression of Interest Questionnaire, and that members agree with the recommendation of the Strategic Financial Working Group, accept the Expression of Interest submitted by the Sirhan Sloan Committee, and are content to move to the next stage of the D1 process, i.e. submission of a developed business case within a 6-month timeframe. Item 15 is the appointment of a consultant for the purpose of the business case development for the upgrade of the Council's public space and facility CCTV systems. On the proposal of Councillor Savage and seconded by Councillor Gallagher, it was agreed that elected members approve the contents of the report to agree to the appointment of a consultant for the preparation of a business case for upgrading the public space and facility CCTV systems, and to agree the budget for services to be provided by the appointed consultant. Item 16, regularisation and upgrade of the ASRI software and procurement of entertainment licence agreement. On the proposal of Councillor Hyle and seconded by Councillor Savage, it was agreed that elected members approve that Council approve the attached business case to purchase the ESRI Enterprise Licence Agreement through the DFC Finances NI Public Sector GI Support and Maintenance Contract. Item 17, Capital Bill Project. On the proposal of Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed that elected members approve to appoint an economist to complete a full business case for the Newcastle Centre, to identify the preferred option and appoint a consultant team to provide design and cost information to support the completion of the business case, to consider the consultant's report in relation to the Newcastle Centre auditorium extension as per the appendices 1, 2 and 3, and agree that demolition of the auditorium extension area of the Newcastle Centre. Also to allocate an additional $450,000 to the Council's capital programme to progress points 1 and 2 above and facilitate displacement of key beacons, and agree revised operational hours of the Newcastle Centre pending the major capital bill programme for the centre as per the attached Appendix 4. Item 18, Terms and Conditions Update. On the proposal of Councillor O'Meara and seconded by Councillor Hyle, it was agreed that elected members note the progress of the work plan as set out in Appendix 1. Item 19, staff severance scheme, on the proposal of Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Murphy. It was agreed that elected members approve the following. So members agree a multiplier of 3, which represents a further compromise and is deemed to be currently affordable. They agree that decisions reached in relation to the severance scheme will be current at the time, and Council reserves the right to revisit these in light of its financial circumstances. And for noting, item 20, Management Accounts, it was agreed to note the Management Accounts Quarter 1, 2021-22, and item 21, the Strategic Financial Working Group Action Sheet of the 2nd of July 2021, it was agreed to note the sheet proposed by Councillor Hoyle and seconded by Councillor Savage. Okay, so following on from that, items 22 to 24 are for noting. So if there's no questions coming from the floor.
Just need a proposer and seconder for those then, Chair.
Okay, if we can have that.
How I propose.
Okay, so proposed by Councillor Gallagher, seconded by Councillor Hoyle. Okay, and just for the tape, Doreena is going to read out
So, on behalf of Marie Ward, Chief Executive, due to the current legislative uncertainty around remote meetings and the restrictions on indoor gatherings, the Chief Executive also agrees to exercise her delegated authority under standing orders to implement the resolution of the committee once ratified by Council, subject to any conflict of interest or legal advice that the decision is unlawful.
Okay, so thanks everybody for their attendance this evening, and we'll just close off the meeting then. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks.